and telling your story here, I guess while you were working for the company, malignant melanoma occurred.
Yeah.
Tell us about that and your first feelings of how you discovered it.
My mother noticed something. I came home for Christmas. We came home about twice a year to Oklahoma. She said, "That's changed. Get it checked out, will you?" And so I did.
She noticed a spot or something?
Yeah. So I did, and the doc said, "I don't think it's anything. We'll do a biopsy of it." And he calls me back and said, "No, it's a melanoma." Then I ended up having pretty radical surgery. I had a 2-stage surgery where they took it off. The lymph nodes below it were positive, and then I did what's called a radical neck dissection, where they take the muscles out of your neck and the veins and the nerves, and they just kind of clean everything out on that side. Fortunate enough that I had a great surgeon, and I was cured.
But the shock of knowing you had that.
Well, I wasn't smart enough to know how serious it was. Plus, I was too focused on my business. Oh, this is just a little interruption. Let's just keep going.
You say that kind of lightly. Wasn't it frightening, the word cancer?
Yeah, but, you know, everything's frightening if you let it be, John. There's a great scripture, "Consider it all joy when you encounter trials. Trials produce endurance, and endurance perfects your faith." And it's really true. So it's just one of the trials, a long life line, and sometimes you don't live through them, and sometimes you do, and what you're supposed to do is learn from them.
Yeah. Somewhere along the line, then, you decide to pursue a medical degree.
Well, I got interested in medicine because we started doing the research on the first intraocular lenses. We started with some doctors in New York, and I started scrubbing with them on monkeys and doing some scrubbing with some humans on some INDs. We actually had the first INDs for intraocular lenses in this country, investigational new drug device. When I left to go to medical school, I was going to be an ophthalmologist. And now I can't think of anything more boring to be than an ophthalmologist.
You graduated from the University of Oklahoma Medical School mm-hmm. in 1983 mm-hmm. with honors. And then what do you do?
I did a general internship in general surgery at St. Anthony's Hospital. And then went from there to the University of Arkansas to do a family medicine residency because I was thinking about doing some mission field work and I wanted the surgery skills, at least the basic surgery skills. And boy, that was probably my best medical training experience. It was a year of 36 on, 12 off, 36 on, 12 off. It was great. I learned so much.
36 hours on. How do people... I mean, you slept, you had time to get away, but you were on call for 36 hours.
Yeah, but you got a little nap in there. But what it does is it trains you to focus your brain when you have to. And in medicine, when you're tired or sick, but you're still working, you have to focus. You know, it really causes you to focus. You put all this other stuff back, you're tired, you're sick, you're not feeling well, and you say, I got to focus. As a side, I got one of my chemo treatments Monday. Last Monday. And I took off the next day and did a 3-day deal where I gave testimony in Washington and did a deal on precision oncology. I did that so I would not be thinking about how crappy I felt from the medicine. Then I crashed on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Monday was much better. So was Tuesday. Anyhow, it's a philosophy of the mind. You actually can control those things if you want to focus. You know, I think it's one of the worst mistakes they've done in graduate medicine is limit the amount of time these young doctors can have. Because the more you see, the more you know. And the less you see, the more mistakes you're going to make. Now we've decided we didn't increase the length of the residencies, but we markedly decreased the amount of training they got in the residencies.
Is there a time, though, that the body just gets tired and the brain gets tired and maybe you're not making the right decisions?
I'm sure that happens, and I'm sure that's a variable with some people. But let me tell you something. If we were to have a major event, wouldn't you want somebody trained to have learned to focus if the doctors were going to have to work for the next 12 days because we have a massive earthquake in Tulsa? Wouldn't you want them trained to focus?
Right.
That's the whole answer to everything in our society. Everybody always says, well, what if this happens? Well, what if it does? Is the betterment of the whole worth the risk of something bad happening? Because something always bad is going to happen. My philosophy is let's do the best we can, even if there are some downsides.